Welcome to At the Library with your host, Diane Barker, local author and conference speaker. For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com.
Diane Mills is a best-selling author who believes her readers should expect an adventure. She weaves memorable characters with unpredictable plots to create action-packed, suspense-filled novels. Diane believes every breath of life is someone's story, so why not capture those moments and create a thrilling adventure? Her titles have appeared on the Christian Bookseller Association and Evangelical Christian Publishing Association bestseller list. She's won 2 Christie Awards, and her books have been finalists in numerous other contests. Diane is a founding board member of the American Christian Fiction Writers, a member of Advanced Writers and Speakers Association, Mystery Writers of America, Sisters in Crime, and International Thriller Writers. She is a former director and still very much involved in the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference, along with Edie Melson. She speaks to various groups and teaches writing workshops around the country. She and her husband live in sunny Houston, Texas. Diane, I am honored to have you visit At the Library.
Oh, thank you. I am the one who's honored. This is a treat.
You are going to be a treat for our listeners as well. Before we talk about your latest book, Dreams and Secrets, an enchanting Christmas novella, I understand you always dreamed of becoming a writer but didn't have the courage to take the first step. What was that first step, and when did you get enough courage to take it?
My husband back in 96 said to me, "Stop telling me that someday you're going to write a book. Just quit your job. I'll give you 1 year, and if you can get anything published, anything, you never have to go back to your other job." And, you know, they say dynamite comes in small packages, and I'm 5'2", so I said, okay, I will. I looked at writing as a full-time job. I divided up my day from writing to reading to learning about the craft, just doing everything that I felt was essential to be successful in the publishing world. And I never went back to my other job. And that was 87 books ago. And now my husband and I work together. Sometimes I say he works for me, but that really isn't fair because we're a partnership.
Okay. What an amazing story. 87 books. Wow. So what was the first thing you got published?
It was a historical novel, and it was called Rehoboth. And they, Barber Publishing was my first publisher.
Of all this 87 books, do you have a favorite book or a favorite series that you've written?
Oh, that's like saying which one of my kids or which one of my grandkids are my favorite.
Right.
And I don't. I'm in love with all the characters. I think about them. I wonder about them. Hope they're doing okay. In fact, that reminds me of something sort of funny. I was a church librarian for a long time. And one morning I went in to relieve the other lady. And she said, "Oh, Diane, I didn't get any sleep last night." So I did what my mom always told me to do, and that is to pray for everyone I could think of. And I realized that I was praying for a couple of your characters. And I love that. I still love that.
I do, too. I do, too. Well, have any of your books been made into movies?
No, that's my bucket list. So, you know, just spread the word.
I can sure see that happening. And is it true that your favorite place to write is on the treadmill? And how do you manage that?
Oh, by setting my laptop on the part of the treadmill where you can put a book to read or magazine or something. And I can, well, think about it. You know, when you're exercising your body, the neurons are firing in your brain. And so I can just, it just works.
Let's talk about your new Christmas novella, Dreams and Secrets. What is this book about?
It is a sweet historical Christmas romance that takes place in outside of Philadelphia in the 1850s. And the heroine is a young lady by the name of Emma Lee. And this young man she works with, and they work at this inn. And so the inn is getting all ready for Christmas. And another young man works there with her, too. And his name is Thad. And he is so attracted to Emma, but he's very, very shy. And she kind of likes him, too. But, you know, that was in an age when girls didn't say, hey, I really like you. And the sweetness about it is Emma coordinates a Christmas gift exchange for the inn's owner. So they have like a what we would call today a secret Santa. And he draws her name. And it's just one little sweet incident after another. Thad wants to be a doctor. And there are some illness things going on in Emma's family. And it's just a put-together, sweet little story that only God could orchestrate, as he does with all of our love stories.
Did something inspire this particular story?
I'm a dreamer. And sometimes that's to my disadvantage. But when I'm writing, it's to my good advantage. But it was just like, okay, what happens if? And when I play with that kind of thing, then my story ideas come into play. But for Christmas, I think our Christmas stories need to inspire, encourage, and provide hope. And I believe that's what Dreams and Secrets does.
How do you come up with your plots and characters?
Dreams, newspaper headlines, eavesdropping, in a nice way, of course. TV shows that, you know, if I wrote this, I would have written it a different way, kind of thing. I just don't know when I'll run out of ideas. I suppose one day I will, but right now I just have a list of stories that I think that the characters are amazing, and if I think they're amazing, maybe somebody else will too.
You have invested much of your life teaching aspiring writers. One of your most recent books is Exploring the Art of Character. Can you give us a crash course in how you develop a character?
My love of characterization is in the psychology of a character. Who they are, their backstory, what they have inherited from parents and grandparents and on back. I adore figuring out behavior patterns and what motivates people into action. Some people are motivated and never do anything. Others are motivated into heroes and heroines. And that is where I begin. It's a mixture of what if and what character would have the most to lose and the most to gain if they are successful in reaching their goal. That's what that book, Exploring the Art of Character, is about. I followed that particular book with Exploring the Art of Plotting, and I have just finished the third and final, Exploring the Art of Emotion and Dialogue. So I feel that the three work together in helping writers create their own characters, work how their brain operates, I mean the writers, how their brain operates, and be able to move forward in their publishing goals.
Getting a book published often involves rejection. What encouragement can you give to writers who are just getting started?
Take those redirections, take a big deep breath, and call them redirections. Not rejections, but redirections. If the writer is fortunate enough to have good feedback as to why the story didn't meet the publisher's needs, then they can take that and make changes. They can seek out critique partners or a professional editor, but don't let one rejection or two or three or a dozen or more stop you when you feel that your purpose is to be writing stories.
Are you working on a new book?
I am. I am working on a new book. I'm just now finishing up the edits for a book that will be out next September. I always have a book that comes out in September and one that is due in September, you know, with my romantic suspense. And this story is a healing story for me. We lost one of our sons at the end of July, and a lot of emotions emerge from that naturally. And I am taking those emotions and I am putting it into a heroine who loses her brother through what looks like an accident, but isn't. And this will be a difficult story, but it may be one of my best, I think, because of my heart and soul going into it.
I did want to ask about the loss of your son. What helped you most to get through the holidays?
It's knowing that God is with me and that my son is with God, and I am going to see my son again. And until God calls me home, I will walk through this fire of grief, and knowing that there is no one who loves me more than what God does.
Would you tell us how you came to love the Lord and to yield your life to Him?
I remember I was 9 years old, and I felt God was talking to me. But seriously, I became a Christian when I was 19, watching a Billy Graham crusade on television. And I gave my life to Christ then. And although I have made mistakes and done some really goofy, stupid things since then, God is faithful, and He has always shown His faithfulness to me. I don't know how people live without Christ. I don't know how they live without knowing who God is and His saving grace.
I agree. Do you have a favorite verse that has just become your life anchor?
Jeremiah 29. And if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire I can't put out. And I'm paraphrasing some of this. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I love that verse. And no matter what version of the Bible, I love that verse.
Diane Mills, thank you for visiting today. What a delight to get to know you. Thank you.
For comments and questions about today's program, call 423-878-6279 or email us at whcb@thelibrary@gmail.com. For more information about the host, Diane Barker, visit DianeBarker.com. Join us again next time for At the Library.